Bibles, we're going to go back over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 here. Last week we had some technical problems. A lot of people were having trouble getting into the Pal Talk site. We wound up only with two people in the room, which is fine. But what we did on with our study, pardon me, we did just a Q&A session, and it turned out we had a good time in the Word of God. We didn't post anything because it was just kind of back and forth Q&A, really a good time. But at any rate, which means we didn't get any further along in our present study doctrine. So we're picking that back up. We finished, of course, in 1 Timothy 4. We are now over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is a continuation of what the Apostle Paul wrote about in 1 Timothy when he warned Timothy about that some were going to depart from the faith. Well, by the time he writes 2 Timothy, you can see that great departure had indeed occurred. If you look with me over to 2 Timothy 1, notice at verse 15, 2 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This thou knowest, that are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we have your word again, that we can read it and study and receive the encouragement, the edification, and the inner man's strength that comes from it. And we can allow your word to equip us to face the details of life each and every day, whatever they might be, and to provide us with that, not just the view of here, now, time, but the long view, the eternal view that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen. All right, well, again, as we come forward now to 2 Timothy, when the Apostle Paul writes 2 Timothy, things have just completely fallen apart, okay, doctrinally, not in terms of the doctrine, but in terms of the local assemblies and people standing for the faith. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, I mean, everybody were just leaving the doctrine in droves. And Timothy himself verse 4, that he's obviously in tears. Verse 5, he's struggling with, does he really believe this himself? He's been gripped by the spirit of fear. Verse 7 indicates that. He really kind of neglected the doctrine. Verse 6, and verse 8, he'd become ashamed. He kind of pulled back from the message and from the messenger. And Paul writes 2 Timothy to encourage him and to say, "Hey, dude, I told you all along this was going to happen, so don't let it be surprised and don't blame yourself." And Timothy was looking at the circumstances because these people who were sitting under his ministry, they all left, and so he, blamed himself. And Paul was writing to Timothy, no, that's you. They left because of the doctrine. Okay, sound is flickering here. Hold on a second. Let me just click off the microphone, click it back on. All right, we're back on now. So, at any rate, is that very same principle. We got sound doctrine. Let's see. Is the fluttering is back now? Well, let's see if there's anything I can do on this here. Sound volume, that's good there. Sounds good there. All right, back with you now. Back with you now. Okay, cool. Yes, Ken, it is going. Back now, as in the mic's back now, or the bad sound is back now? Do you want me to, because I can, yes, which one? The mic or fluttering of the sound? Mic is back. Cool, okay, good. Let's just keep going. If it gets bad, let me know. I'll exit the room and come back in. So, at any rate, one of the important things for us to appreciate about this is that when we're going through various circumstances in life, it's so vital that we use the right standard to evaluate what's happening and why it's happening. And with regard to the truth of God's Word, if they left the Apostle Paul, if they left the doctrine that he was preaching back in his day, it's really no surprise that you're going to see, well, frankly, not a lot of enthusiasm about the message of grace. But therefore, we have to be sure that we don't blame ourselves, but rather that let's not become discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. It is. Oh my gosh, it is easy to become discouraged. But let's just make a decision. No, let's just not do it. but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us. God has given us total, complete equipping to be able to deal with whatever the situation is. And it's interesting that until we get in those situations, we don't tend to trust them. Do we rest in them? Do we find the peace that comes from resting in the verses? And so when we're in those difficult, challenging times, we just need to remember a verse like that. Listen, God's not the one who gave us that spirit of fear. Rather, He equipped us with the spirit of power, that's His word, and of love, that's the motivation, and of a sound mind, that's a sound mind fortified. That's the inner man believer fortified with sound doctrine. That's what God has given us, okay? The Apostle Paul goes on to tell Timothy, he says at verse 12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul himself experienced these same things, the sense of discouragement, the fear, the anxiety, all those things. And the reason he experienced all those things is, look down at verse 9 and 10, he says, talking about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul's calling was according to a new purpose, the purpose of God to form the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. It was not according to Paul's works. Verse 10, he says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. The reason, but because the message he was preaching was being rejected by those who hated it. He was experiencing these same issues because of the message, not because of God, but because he was preaching the truth. And the adversary wanted to do everything possible to prevent that truth from going out and impacting the lives of other people. So the Apostle Paul, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. I'm at verse 12 now. And then he says this, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. He believed God. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Well, that's a wonderful verse. We need to be persuaded about God, who He is, about His fidelity, about His ability, about His intention to follow through with His plan and purpose. We were at the study last night. I know Jim recorded that. I think he might have, or if it's not posted yet, I think focusing on the issue of the security of the believer. It's not what I intended to do. We were going to continue looking at something else that we started the week before, but because of some questions that came up, I thought, you know, it's really good and important to do this instead. So what we did, so it is posted. That's good. What we did is we asked the question, and I asked everybody for input. I said, okay, we're going to list several reasons why it is impossible for someone, when they have truly trusted Christ for their Savior, why it is impossible for them to lose their salvation. Why a person is eternally secure. They've truly trusted Christ. We identified a lot of things, by the way. Really good input, a lot of good verses. People were taking notes, that type of thing. I'd encourage you to listen to the message if you can. But one of the guys who is pretty new to the grace message and very, very much interested and open and learning and that type of thing, he made the observation that, well, if you could lose your salvation after you, and he didn't say it this exact way, but this was his point, that if salvation could be lost after you're truly saved, then God fails. And of course, what do you mean by that? And he's talking about, listen, the idea of God's integrity. God promised that He would save you. God, you're in His eternal purpose. And so if you can lose your salvation, then God failed you. And that, I mean, that was some good observation. God cannot fail. He cannot lie. And that's the Apostle Paul when he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. We need to be persuaded not just about the fact that God can do what he's going to do, that he will do what he says he's going to do, that he's able to do it and will follow through. Look at a passage over here in Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1. This is another wonderful verse. Philippians 1, 6. You all know it. It says in Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See that there? We can have confidence of God's intention to complete what he started. And what he started really goes all the way back to before the foundation of the world, when he had this plan and purpose to form the new creature, the church, the body of Christ. So if you turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, then when he says, he reminds Timothy, Timothy, I know exactly what you're experiencing because I experienced those same things myself. And the thing that I have to remember is the reason that I'm experiencing these things, and Timothy, the reason you're experiencing these things, don't blame yourself, but because there's an all-out satanic opposition against the truth of what God is doing, and therefore, in the hearts and minds of unsaved people, and in many cases, unfortunately, saved people, they seek to oppose the clear preaching of God's grace, the clear distinction of, and so the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, listen, that's the reason I'm also suffering these things. So instead, Timothy, instead of being discouraged, be thou a partaker. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. God, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And he says, according to the power of God is his word. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the ability and power of the word of God to equip you and sustain you. That means we have to trust and depend on the word. He tells Timothy in verse 13, so again, 2 Timothy 1:13, he tells him, he says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That little statement there, hold fast, don't new and improve them. Just take those sound words that I taught you as sound words. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy here to hold fast that form. He also tells Timothy this. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be strong in yourself, your intellectualism, your human viewpoint. Rather, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Know who God has made you to be in Christ by his grace. And then be strong in that. By the way, I got a question for you. You can all answer. How often do we have to remind ourselves about who God has made us to be in Christ? Anybody want to answer? So just type your answer in there. How often do we need to remind ourselves about who God has made us to be in Christ? Yeah, how about all the time? How about pray evermore? Praying always and everything. That's what you got to do. Because when we too many distractions of life, we forget our true identity, and then when life happens, we let allow ourselves to get all upset by life instead of realizing that, wait a minute, we belong to Christ, we're in him. So when he tells Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he tells him to go back to the doctrine that you've learned of me and be strong in that. And then he says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Let's think for a few minutes about that verse for a number of reasons. He tells that to Timothy in the context and in the set in which everybody was leaving the faith. Remember, he's told Timothy that all they were in Asia were turned away from him? Well, then, if he tells him in chapter 2, verse 2, the idea of to teach faithful men, what was Timothy going to have to do to be able to find those men to teach who would be faithful? You understand that? What I'm asking is this. What I'm saying is this. Against the backdrop of everybody leaving the faith, that means Timothy was not, I mean, it was just, people are not going to come to him saying, teach me, teach me, teach me. He's going to have to go out looking for people. And he's going to have to look through, he's going to have to go through a lot of men to find the few who were faithful. Everybody's leaving. You know, the old saying in sales. They say sales is really, success in sales is just a prospecting number. You got to make 100 calls to get maybe 10 appointments to get maybe one sale, kind of a thing. Well, I'm just using that as an illustration. Everybody was leaving the faith. So when he tells them over in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy needed to know, and no doubt was realizing it, that he was not going to find these faithful men on every street corner. He's going to have to go out and just start talking to people. And it's going to be just a few. And it's going to be those few that he would teach. And then he's going to have to teach those few to go out and find a few. There was not going to be this massive influx of people coming to want to understand this message and appreciate and stand for this message. Most were going to repel against it and oppose and push against it. But there would be some. And the way to find those some is you just got to talk to people. I think as well about that verse there, because how is it that you and I have come to see and appreciate Paul's message today, now, 2,000 years removed from when the Apostle Paul wrote this? How is it? Well, based upon that verse right there, it's because not only was God true to preserve His Word for us down through time and history, we have it here today, but because others before us were faithful, and others before them, and others before them, and before them, and before them. You trace it all the way back to the Apostle Paul and to Timothy. Timothy found a few and taught them, and taught them to teach others. And that's what they did. And so all down the line. That's how it is that you and I have this message today. Because someone prior to us, they were faithful. So I have a question. What do we learn from that? What do we learn from that about the next generation? And the next, if the Lord doesn't return for us. Meaning the catching away of the saints, the rapture. Well, that tells us that we have a great privilege and a great opportunity to impact not just our generation, but to have an influence and an impact on the following generation and the next, on the next, all the way down to when the rapture happens. Isn't that amazing? You and I will just be faithful to take the things that God has taught us. And let's just teach some others. If we can make it a main purpose and goal in our life, among the many other things that we're doing, your career, your family, your recreation, your garden, whatever you do, make it a priority to find a few others to teach. Make that part of your lifelong goal. Again, in connection with everything else you do. But make sure that you make that part of your lifelong goal. Find someone else that you can introduce them to the Word of God, rightly divided. And then you can kind of encourage them and strengthen them and teach them in that message. Not everyone's going to be excited about this, but some will. Because you are. Someone told you You learned about it. You became excited about it. And in that same way, you and I, we have the great privilege to reach out to others. And in doing so, look with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 3. Look over to 1 Corinthians 3. Watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 9. He says, "For we are laborers together with." You know, that gives new meaning to the word, to the phrase day laborers, doesn't it? You know, when you think about the idea of the day laborers, you think about you drive by Home Depot and the guys are sitting out there waiting to be hired for you by the day at a daily rate and so forth. You go pick them up and you put them in your car. You come and help them, take them to your house. They help you clean the yard or clean the house or build a fence or, you know, pour concrete, whatever. So there's your day laborers. That's just, look, but listen, you and I are the true day laborers. You and I laborers together with God. So that means we're not doing this alone. Sometimes you might feel alone, but you're not alone. We're laborers together with God. And the product, the produce, the fruit of our labor, remember, it's based upon the ability and power of God's Word to do God's work, but it's also based upon that person that you're seeking to teach. It's based upon them believing it. When he says here, at verse 6, I'm still in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, he says, "I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." There it is. You and I have the great privileges to plant and to water. Plant and water. Plant and water. Just keep that process. Just keep planting, keep watering. Keep planting. And let God's Word do God's work. Have confidence and trust in God's Word to do God's work. See that? Look, if you'll turn back with me now over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Let's stay on verse 2 here. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Now at this point I want to emphasize the issue of the same. I said a little while ago that we don't need to new and improve Paul's gospel. It works just like Christ gave it to him. We don't need to new and improve the revelation of the mystery because it works fine just like Christ gave it to him. We need to take the same exact doctrine, the same words that you and I have today in our King James Bible, in the book, specifically Romans through Philemon, which is where you find Paul's apostleship and ministry. So I'm not saying reject the rest of the Bible. Use all the Bible in the light of where you are in the Bible. But I'm saying that specific information where you find what the Apostle Paul taught before many, many witnesses, you find it written, you and I have it written down in Romans through Philemon. And of course, obviously there's a lot of details in the book of Acts as well, but I'm saying Paul's written ministry is in Romans through Philemon. So if we want to find out whether or not we're teaching the same thing that he taught Timothy in the presence of many witnesses, well, you and I weren't there. So how can you and I know if we're preaching the same thing? How? Just go read it. Read the verses. We have it written down exactly what he taught. So we need to teach the same thing. He also tells Timothy in that same verse, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." See, he reminds Timothy that though there were not very many with him at the time that he writes this book, most had left Paul by this point, there were still many witnesses to what he taught, what he spoke, and what he wrote down. So Paul couldn't come along now and say, "Oh, hey, I'm saying this because all these witnesses," and change what he said before, because all these witnesses would come forth and say, "No, Paul, you're changing your message now." The same thing that he was teaching before many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want you to make another comparison here, if you would. Go with me to back to 1 Corinthians this time. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's make a comparison here. 1 Corinthians 4 with 2 Timothy 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Timothy 2. Watch how these verses are going to, one verse is going to help us define another verse, a phrase that Paul uses. Look over to 1 Corinthians 4, 1. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. He says this. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he says at verse 2 this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see the connection in that verse with the idea of being found faithful and being a steward of the mysteries. And that's my point. That when the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, to find faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, he's talking about that they will be faithful stewards of the mysteries of Christ. They will faithfully teach, proclaim, and live the mysteries of Christ. When Paul says there over in 1 Timothy 4:1, he's stewards of the mysteries, he doesn't, you know, sometimes people say God works in mysterious ways. That's not what Paul means by that phrase, stewards of the mysteries of God. He's not talking about the mysterious ways of God, ways that God is working that you cannot know. He's talking about being a steward of those secrets, that information that God had kept secret and all its aspects that he's now made known, hidden wisdom that he's now revealed. So you can see when the Apostle Paul says, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, that's a reference to what is the person going to do with the message of grace that you teach them. I've been at this a number of years, as have many of you. You all know Brother Jordan very well. He's been at this way longer than I have. And, you know, the number of people that he has taught this message to, that I have taught this message to, that are no longer in the message, I don't have an exact count, but it's a large number. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not laughing in the sense of laughing at that or laughing at them. That's not. I'm just saying that it's hard to find those faithful men, those men who you sit down and you'll teach them. They see the message, and then they stick with the message, and then they go out and try to duplicate that process, and they're faithful to proclaim that message. There are a whole lot more that we've sought to teach over the years that are no longer doing this compared to those that are doing it. That's interesting to think about that. Because it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now we have to be careful also to not say that in the sense of patting ourselves on the back or having pride or self-confidence. Because that's all destructive totally spiritually. Rather, our confidence needs to be in God's Word. Our strength and the ability to be faithful has got to come from God's Word. If we rely on our own selves to be faithful, we will fail. We need to remember, when we are weak, then that's when we're strong. Because it's in our weakness that we recognize our need. And hence our dependence. We learn that we're dependent on God's Word. And hence we appeal to His Word. Our struggles, our afflictions, our challenges are things that actually can turn out to be good in our life. We don't like them. We're not excited about them. But the fact is that those afflictions actually can help us. They remind us about our own inadequacies, our own insufficiencies, our own weakness. And therefore, they lead us to appreciate more and more how much we need to depend on God and His Word. You see, it's in the midst of our afflictions, our sufferings, our difficulties, that is when we tend to go back and lean more upon God's Word. Isn't that amazing how that works? So when afflictions and difficulties come, let's not let those things cause us to abandon the faith or get down or discouraged. Rather, let's take those as the opportunities to flee back to God's grace, to flee back to the cross work of Christ, to go back to the Word of God and say, wait a minute, the Word of God is my hope, my strength, my power. Christ is my life. He's my sufficiency. He's my all in all. The Word of God says about in Christ, in Him, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. So when we go through those times of difficulties, we can remember verses like the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We can remember that the outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Boy, how true is that? The things that are not seen are eternal. So when we go through those difficulties, it looks like the mic is back now. Let's just see if we're back now. Great. So, again, verses like, in fact, let's turn over there. Look over to Philippians 4 here. Not sure when we lost the mic, but Philippians chapter number 4. Verse 4, he says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. Be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There it is right there. Whatever the challenge that we face as we seek to find other men who will be faithful, who will teach others also, as we seek to remember that it's not God who gave us a spirit of fear, God gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we seek to press towards the mark, as we seek to labor together with God as ambassadors for Christ with the great privilege of carrying forth His message to a lost and dying world. Whatever we face, how vital it is to remember verses like that. Hit the cross. Be strong in grace. Be strong in who we are in Christ. And rest there. Let's do this. Let's open this up. If anybody has any questions or comments or additional thoughts about our study today, then raise hand icon will give you the microphone and we can we'll address your questions or thoughts that way. Pardon me. And just a quick reminder that we will be on for our next live session tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right, well, I don't see any other hands up at this point, so let's just, we'll close in a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and dismiss the class. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful again that we can spend some time looking into your word this morning, allowing your word to remind us that the source of our strength and our life is the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed through your word. And Father, we are grateful that men and women before us, and before them, all the way back to the Apostle Paul, saw these truths and stood for them and sought to teach others, which they did, who taught others. And hence, it's here for us today. And we pray, Father, that we would be aligned in that company. The company of those who seek to find others who would be faithful, who indeed would go out and find others who will be faithful to teach this message to the next generation. For the privilege of being a laborer together with you in these things that are important to you. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.